You're listening to the UFO Radio Network, and this is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And joining me today, after I've been chewing his ear off for about 20 minutes, I always look forward to talking to this guest off air. He's got a lot of wisdom, and he's a person that I trust to run things by, always very supportive. And it is Dr. Eric Karlstrom, and we're going to be doing part three of our series Structure is Strategy in Slow Motion: How the Jewish Criminal Syndicate Controls the United States. And today we're going to focus on the names of the people involved. Now, Eric has done a lot of work, as he always does for the show, and he basically makes a lot of notes that he takes from other work that he's done in articles, etc. So I'm going to keep my involvement to a minimum to ensure that he can get all the work that he's done out to you, because I know how much you appreciate him on this show. So I'm delighted to bring him up now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, Andy, it's great to be with you again. And this is a very vast topic. We're now on part three, and let's see how we do. There's a lot of names, but when it comes right down to it, it's a fairly small cabal, and the same names keep coming up again and again and again. So, I'm anxious to get into this. I can start with a couple quotes that maybe kind of set the stage a little bit. Plato, of course, who's been around, was speaking from the long-distant past, said, "The penalty good men pay for their indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men." How true. Another quote from the Jew and High Mason Crémieux, who's founder and president of a group called the Alliance of Universal of Israel, or I'll try to say this in my French accent, poor French accent, La Alliance Israelite Universelle, 1860, said, "The net which Israel now casts over the terrestrial globe enlarges and extends. Our power is immense. Learn to turn that power to our cause. The day is not far distant when all the riches, all the treasures of the earth will become the property of the children of Israel." Okay, that's from 1860. This is a problem that just won't go away, and we can document it through history. I've got on my website, Sandy, 911nwo.com and gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. It's divided into subheadings, and one subheading is called The Controllers. And I just, for fun, counted up the number of posts that I have under The Controllers on my 911nwo.com website, and there's 78. Okay, so there's an enormous amount of information there. There's no way that you and I can cover all this information, but I can refer people to these websites and to the articles on the websites, many of which I've written myself and many of which I've posted from other writers. So I think it's important to clarify that, you know, there is this huge body of information which we're trying to draw on here. Let me start again to give the historical legs of this issue. Let's quote for George Washington, the father of America, considered founding father, first president. The Jews, work more effectively against us than the enemy's armies. They are 100 times more dangerous to our liberties and the great cause we are engaged in. It is much to be lamented that each state long ago has not hunted them down as pests to society and the greatest enemies we have to the happiness of America. And this is from a book called Maxims of George Washington by A.A. Appleton and Company. There's another quote by Benjamin Franklin, another founding father. "I fully agree with General Washington that we must protect this young nation from an insidious influence and impenetration. The menace, gentlemen, is the Jews. In whatever country Jews have settled in any great number, they have lowered its moral tone, depreciated its commercial integrity, have segregated themselves, and have not been assimilated, have sneered at and tried to undermine the Christian religion upon which that nation is founded by objecting to its restrictions, have built up a state within a state, and when opposed, have tried to strangle that country to death financially, as in the case of Spain and Portugal. If you do not exclude them from these United States in this Constitution," he's talking about the Constitutional Convention in 1789. This is where this speech was given. If you do not exclude them from these United States in this Constitution, in less than 200 years, they will have swarmed in such great numbers that they will dominate and devour the land and change our form of government, for which we Americans have shed our blood, given our lives, our substance, and jeopardized our liberty. If you do not exclude them in less than 200 years, our descendants will be working in the fields to furnish them sustenance, while they will be in the counting houses rubbing their hands. I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews for all time, your children will curse you in your graves. Jews, gentlemen, are Asiatics. Let them be born where they will, or how many generations they are away from Asia, they will never be otherwise. Their ideas do not conform to an American's and will not even though they live among us 10 generations, a leopard cannot change its spots. Okay, that's Benjamin Franklin, Constitutional Convention, 1789. Go back a little further even, and we can see that Napoleon, quite a historical figure, of course, said that one cannot improve the character of the Jews by arguments. For them must be established special exclusive laws. Since the time of Moses, the Jews were oppressors or usurers. All the talent of the Jews is concentrated on predatory acts. They have a creed which blesses their thievings and misdeeds. The Jews ought to be forbidden to make trade, as are forbidden the goldsmiths, who forge a lower kind of gold things to continue their work. The Jews are locusts or caterpillars which are devouring France. Okay, what we're talking about here is a fifth column group, sometimes called the shadow government, the deep state, sometimes called the hidden hand. What we're trying to do is understand our present situation by the infiltration of these cabals of individuals into think tanks and into all positions of government and military, etc. We're specifically looking today, Andy, at this phony war on terrorism, which is really a war of terrorism against the world. And we're looking at 9/11 as the trigger event, of course, to launch us into this period of endless wars. Now the terrorists are anybody that the leaders say they are. The terrorist nations are any country that the leaders identify. And now they have perpetual war. Well, let's start. If you'd like to jump in, Andy, please do. Let's start with our president, George W. Bush, who was president on September 11. By the way, the 2000 and 2004 elections were obviously stolen. There are books to that effect, and I've got them in the bibliographies. I've got an article called The Bush Dynasty of Death, Four Generations of Wall Street War Making and War Profiteering. I wrote this in 2004. It might have got me gang stalked. Who knows, Andy? I also wrote in 2002 Reflections on the Origins of 9/11, Three Scenarios. That might have got me on the terrorism watch list. There's any number of possibilities because I've been kind of I was a professor for 30 years, in the geography departments. And so I had some credibility, and I would write about these public issues. And so therefore, you can understand why a criminal government, which is run by a criminal syndicate, would want to silence all opposition and target me as a political enemy. And so I really look at this gang stalking thing as a way to neutralize dissent, whistleblowers, political enemies, to protect the criminal elite, which run the government, which we're going to be talking about. As we get into this, let's just talk real quickly about the Bush dynasty. And what I didn't know when I wrote this paper in 2004, I've learned subsequently from Eustace Mullen's book, The World Order, that the Bush family is a third-tier Illuminati family. And Solomon Bush came from Germany, Jewish, back in the time of the Revolutionary War. And then during the Civil War, there was a George Bush, who was a professor, who was talking about, the imminent coming of a one-world government, et cetera. My article specifically focuses on the last four generations, well, four of the last five, starts with Samuel P. Bush, who was very prominent in the War Industries Board, which formed during World War I, and he personally profited from the sale of small handguns to 75% of all the nations involved on both sides of World War One. So this was the beginning of the military-industrial complex, Samuel P. Bush. And then we get into Prescott Bush, his son, who was also at Yale and a member of Skull and Bones, which perhaps your listeners would understand is the American branch of the Bavarian Illuminati, also known as the Order of Death, and so is the Skull of Bones. It's a satanic secret society. And Prescott Bush and Averill Harriman, again, Bush, third-tier Illuminati family, Harriman, second-tier Illuminati family, they combined with the Dulles brothers, they formed a faction which financed Hitler during World War II. And there were many, many companies that were trading back and forth between America and Germany prior to the war. Brown Brothers Harriman was the predominant one, as well as the Union Banking Corporation, with ties to the Fritz Thyssen and I.G. Farben and everything. So you had this, and the Rockefellers, of course, you had this nexus of super capitalists that were funding Hitler so that, of course, he could smash Europe, redraw the map, fight two front wars with the Soviet Union, et cetera, and chase the Jews out of Israel or out of Europe so that they would go to their new home in Palestine. This is all for it was all planned, and so Prescott Bush then was the guy who was involved in many, many of these corporations, Brown Brothers Harriman. He was doing a lot of the heavy lifting. He was also a congressman from Connecticut. His son, George H.W. Bush, of course, was our 41st president. Christopher Story, in his excellent book, The New Underworld Order, goes on and on and on and on about George H.W. Bush. And he was, you know, very, very, very high in the Illuminati power structure. He happened to be the vice president under Ronald Reagan. And it's probably no coincidence that in President Ronald Reagan's first year of office, Hinckley, this John Hinckley guy, who's probably mind controlled to a certain extent with MK Ultra technology, tried to assassinate President Reagan and almost did. President Reagan was pretty much senile after that. And for the next 7 years of the Reagan administration, George H.W. Bush, who was the vice president, really was the effective leader. And then Bush himself had another 4 years as president. So we almost had him for 12 years as our leader. And, you know, if you go down the list of the rotten, terrible things he did, well, read my article, The Bush Dynasty, Four Generations of Wall Street War Making and War Profiteering. And on all my articles, I give references. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm reading this in other people's research, et cetera. But here's a quote from George H.W. Bush, our 41st president, in an interview with Sarah McClendon, 1992. Sarah McClendon was senior White House correspondent for decades. She began under Roosevelt. He said, if the American people had ever known the truth about what we Bushes have done to this nation, we would be chased down in the streets and lynched. Absolutely true. If the American people had a clue. And yet this is the guy, he was out there, you know, flipping the coin at the last Super Bowl, I think, you know, in his wheelchair. And he looked like he was, you know, kind of already in death's door. But anyway, amazing, amazing connections. He had been the director of the CIA in 1976. And, you know, you look at his resume, he did the heavy lifting for the New World Order. And then, of course, his son, George W. Bush, was the 43rd president, presided over, you know, the 9/11, false flag, state-sponsored synthetic terrorism attacks, planned mostly by the Mossad and carried out by the interagency in the United States, which is controlled by Jews in America and in Israel. This was a 30-year plan, according to Senator Bob Kerry. And, you know, of course, I've got a huge website on 9/11 and the New World Order. But let me read this quote. There is no historical parallel that can be drawn. Nothing compares with the accomplishments of the Bush family. No dictator or tyrant can equal the suffering and destruction they have wrought on humanity, as they are not mere tyrants themselves, but the makers and breakers of tyrants, the organizers and profiteers of war and death. They are not alone and solely responsible for creating the present-day military-industrial complex. However, since 1915, the Bush family has been directly involved in World War I and II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, numerous CIA secret wars, the Gulf War, and now a never-ending war, the War on Terrorism, the War of Terrorism. The past four generations of this one family have had a hand in promoting and profiting from most of the major wars that America has waged since the beginning of the Industrial Age. Schuller Ebbets. Okay.
just a quick yes. question. Did you see that video that it was a YouTube that alleged that Barbara Bush was actually the daughter of Aleister Crowley?
Yes, I did. And I think it's a very good point you bring up. And I think it's highly likely, given the fact that George Bush Sr. and Jr. were also members of the Yale Skull and Bones. This is a satanic secret society. They are initiated in the coffin, when they're tapped as seniors at Yale, 15 a year, and they go through these rituals in this concrete building called the tomb. And given the power of the Bushes, again, third tier Illuminati family, it's very, very plausible, and I'd say very likely, that in fact George H.W. Bush married Barbara Pierce, who apparently was the offspring of Aleister Crowley and one of his kind of wild and crazy drug orgy taking periods when he was doing lots of satanic rituals, and that she would have been conceived in one of those rituals. And, so people think, that George W. Bush was just, the idiot in chief, just the dummy from Texas, But of course the guy is homosexual. His father is a pedophile. These guys come from a pedigree of Satanists, which is at the very top or very near the top. Of course, the Rothschilds being first tier Illuminati families. These guys are doing the heavy lifting. Each tier serves the next tier higher. So in order to, gain kind of advance up that structure, they do the heavy lifting. So I think your point is very well taken. And I did hear that video. I heard your interview with, I think it was Paul English, wasn't it?
It's funny because I was worried that I'd actually brought this up on one of our shows, but then I thought I actually played the video, and I don't recall playing a lot of videos on our shows. They kind of all roll into one when you're doing so many each week. But yeah, I believe it was. Now that you've jogged my memory, it was with Paul.
Yeah. Well, again, it fits right. It fits right in. I mean, we're dealing with. If you ever get a chance to watch the movie The Skulls, of course that's modeled on the Skull and Bones, and there's two or three of them, I think. And the first one is really quite good. And it shows, a young man, relatively poor background, being inducted into this secret society. Now Anthony Sutton had written a book, America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones. And he's talking about this. There's only 500 or so members living at any time, maybe less. And yet this is America's secret establishment, he's saying. Well, the Bushes are crypto-Jewish. George W. Bush pretended to be a born-again Christian. He had an alcohol problem, blah, 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 blah. But they are, crypto-Jewish, meaning secret Jews. And, of course, the Harriman family, and all these, this is right at the top of the Illuminati power structure. Let's hear what historian Edward Boswell says about this. He says, the story of Prescott Bush and Brown Brothers Harriman is an introduction to the real history of our country. It exposes the money-making motives behind our foreign policies dating back a full century. The ability of Prescott Bush and the Harrimans to bury their checkered pasts also reveals a collusion between Wall Street and the media that exists today. This is the where we're dealing with, and so I didn't want to gloss over the personage of George Bush. Of course, there was also Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, and these characters, you know, Dick Cheney as vice president, Rumsfeld as secretary of defense for, you know, these wars of aggression in the Middle East. These guys were brought on in the Nixon administration in the late 60s and then have worn many hats in government. But the bottom line is, once you start looking into how this system works, Rumsfeld, I believe, is also German-Jewish, and he's a crypto-Jew. Cheney, I don't think, is a Jewish family, but there are many members of the, some members of the Cheney family have been in Skull and Bones. So this is a family which has these deep connections to the Zionism, et cetera. And these guys, again, were positioned. So again, structure, strategy, and slow motion. You look at the map of who was filling what positions on September 11th, and you can understand how and why it was facilitated and covered up so efficiently, because these people are all on board in this fairly small, tight-knit cabal, which is mostly Zionist, largely Zionist, but not exclusively. And, of course, has its tentacles into the military-industrial complex with generals and with the private sector, you know, Northrop Grumman, Martin Marietta, Bechtel, et cetera, all the defense contractors. So, you know, there's many, many motivations for war. Profit is amongst the highest, the oil, et cetera, you know, the geopolitics. But bottom line, the war on terrorism, the war of terrorism is to help the Israel's policies of balkanizing their neighbors, create the greater Israel, and then go on to conquer the world and create this Jewish utopia, which has been the ideal of this tribe for 3,000 years, apparently, going back to Solomon. There's an article that I'll refer to here today, Andy. Oh, by the way, structure, strategy, and slow motion. Marvin Bush, the president's brother, on the day of 9/11, along with Ward Walker, and that's, of course, the maternal grandfather of George H.W. Bush, was Herbert Walker. So these are families, dynastic families. These two were essentially in charge of security at the World Trade Center complex on the day of. So once 9/11. So once you start looking into these things and you notice there's a million of these connections. You know, they say there's only 18 million Jews. I say that's not possible. There must be 10 times that number. But of course, everything they do is a lie. Everything they say is a lie. So I think they underreport their numbers. I think they and of course they have tremendous influence beyond their numbers through their control of the financial system. But if we look at an article by M.K. Stylinski in 2015 called "Chabadniks, Zionists, and Insiders," we start to get the names that you're talking about here for, you know, who is behind this interminable war of terrorism, aka war on terror, and of course 9/11 just served as the pretext to begin this. Well, Operation 9/11, of course, was mainly planned in Israel and the United States. There's this crossover. We in our program on 9/11 this last year, 2017, I think we fleshed out pretty well, and I'm proud of this. The fact that, yes, it was the U.S. interagency with over 30 agencies that were involved in only just the drills of 9/11, which flipped live, of course, on the day of, you know, but these included international groups like, you know, the United Nations, et cetera, as well. But we also showed that the private Jewish citizens had an integral hand, and many of these, like Larry Silverstein, the owner of the building, World Trade Center complex, with personal friends of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, called him once a week, you know. So we have these amazing connections, which more or less prove that Israel and the American Sionim Jews are in control of the United States. And we see the same thing, I believe, with this global war on terror. We see the same thing with the gang stalking, which I call GOG's new Gestapo, which stands for Global Organized Gang Stalking, Neuro Warfare Groups, Electronic Surveillance, Slavery, tracking, targeting, torture, terrorism, and psyops operations. I think much more descriptive than gang stalking. And Gog's new Gestapo also kind of tells you what's happening and who's behind it. Gog being the end times Antichrist system of the Bible. And of course, Gestapo being a totalitarian police state. So now we're talking about extending this totalitarian police state across the world through electronic weapons and mind control and terrorism, torture, etc. So, but who's behind this? Well, it's actually very easy to get these names, Andy. I mean, they're all over the internet. This is in broad daylight. This is in public. It's hiding in plain sight. So who are these people? Well, Paul Wolfowitz, former Assistant Secretary of Defense under Donald Rumsfeld, the war in Iraq. He was pushing the war in Iraq since the late 80s. Of course, he's a dual Israeli-American citizen. He was a student of Leo Strauss, Dr. Leo Strauss at the University of Chicago, who is the godfather of the neoconservative movement. Leo Strauss, again, German Jew, emigre to the United States, who believed, he was really a fascist. His heroes were fascist philosophers, Hegel, etc. And he believed he could more or less channel Machiavelli. So the ultimate Machiavellians. When Machiavelli, of course, taught in the 1600s that you have to lie to the people, might makes right, ends justify the means, divide and conquer, all this stuff. Very cynical way to run a government, but effective. And of course, it cuts the people out completely, so it leads directly to totalitarian, authoritarian governments, which is what we have today. But anyway, Paul Wolfowitz, who went on then to become president of the World Bank. So these guys wear many, many hats. Senator Joseph Lieberman, of course, big supporter of Israel, also Jewish, dual citizen. Former Senator Carl Levin, Orthodox Jewish rabbi and former Pentagon controller, Doc Dov Zakheim. Dov, interesting name, of course, he's the ultimate hawk. And he's, we'll talk about him in a second. You can get into any one of these individuals. And you can, you can do a whole show on one person and all the double dealing criminal activities of each one. So this is a daunting task we're upon here. The former White House chief of staff, of course, was Ari Fleischer, also a dual American Israeli citizen. This is for the Bush administration, Bush 2 administration. The former Secretary of Homeland Security, of course, Michael Chertoff, a dual Israeli-American citizen, who was the one who destroyed the 9/11 evidence as Assistant Attorney General, the one who let all the dancing Israelis who were cited on the day of 9/11 celebrating and were there to document the event in their own words. So they had foreknowledge, obviously. And there were hundreds of other Israeli agents just operating all over the place on the day of, driving around these white vans with explosives in them and doing all kinds of crazy things. They were all given a free ride back to Israel, thanks to Michael Chertoff. Okay, then he becomes the first head of Homeland Security, which of course is the American Gestapo, which another individual, a guy named Marcus Wolf, who's of course Jewish, who was in, East Germany and was in the Stasi police, was directly involved in the formation of the American Department of Homeland Security. So we're dealing with, totalitarian fascist with a Jewish stamp on it, imprimatur. And then, of course, former White House official Joshua Bolton and John Bolton. The network of powerful Jewish billionaires that helped set the stage for Operation 9/11 includes lots of Chabad Lubavitch Zionist supporters, including Larry Silverstein, the owner of the World Trade Center, who made $4.5 billion on a $15 million investment, thanks to his insider connections. He made that $4.5 billion collecting insurance because another Jew, Israeli-American citizen named McCaskey, was the judge who ruled in his favor. You see, it's like structure, strategy, and slow motion. Put these people in key positions all over the place and in the private sector, in the government, and make a plan. Many of these plans are designed in war colleges in Israel, as I think 9/11 to a large extent was, as well as the Boston 7/7 bombings, etc. There's a whole spate of these things, and of course these false flag terror events are being ramped up to get Americans to turn in their guns and repeal the Second Amendment right to own guns. Frank Lowry, the Goldman Sachs cartel owner and owner of Westfield America, Ronald Lauder, Louis Eisenberg, Goldman Sachs, and former chairman of the Port Authority of New York, which sold the World Trade Center to Larry Silverstein, you know, just 5 months prior to 9/11. Most of the board of the directors of the Port Authority were and are Jewish Zionists, as is, I might add, the Jewish the mob, the New Jersey, New York mob, which according to Kay Griggs's interviews, which I've transcribed, is directly connected to the U.S. military. The top generals are directly connected to the Jewish mob in New Jersey and New York. So, you know, these connections, some of which are visible, you know, it's like the tip of the iceberg. The names I'm naming here are the tip of the iceberg. And then they go deep. They go deep into Las Vegas, you know, with Sheldon Adelson, the other billionaire who's got all these political connections, you know. And you know, it's a invisible cabal. It's a nation within a nation, which through its power of finance has managed to corrupt and co-opt all these institutions. Phenomenal. Benjamin Franklin and George Washington were so prescient in their predictions. Another one, late Peter Zvi, Zabotai Zvi, Malkin, former Israeli intelligence officer and the security consultant and intermediary between Atwell Security and the Port Authority. Port Authority Director Steven Berger, these are all Zionists. Stanley Brezhnev, Maurice Hank Greenberg, CEO of AIG, which of course had to be bailed out in 2008 and got very handsome recompense for going broke. Jules Kroll of Kroll Inc., Mossad agent Shaul Eisenberg, former managing director of Control Incorporated, Jerome M. Hauer, who also ran New York Mayor Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management, OEM, located in the World Trade Building 7, from 19, of course, that was the control center, many believe, for the operation, which that's why it had to be pulled. And of course, it was Larry Silverstein who said on interview, well, there have been so much death and destruction on that day that we made the decision to pull it. Okay, Building 7, 47-story building, was not hit by, well, I mean, none of the buildings were hit by airplanes. It was all prepositioned explosions and directed energy weapons, et cetera. But it was made to look like the World Trade Center 1 and 2 were hit by these airliners. But it wasn't even made to look as if the World Trade Center Building 7 was hit by any plane. And yet at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on that same day, when the dust was gone all over the, you know, Manhattan, World Trade Center Building 7 miraculously dropped almost at the speed of gravity in 6.5 seconds into its own footprint. Well, perfect controlled demolition, probably with the help of directed energy weapons, according to Dr. Judy Wood. Going on the list of names here, and we spend the whole time talking about names. Robert Kelman, CEO of Hugo New Schnitzer Company. That name Schnitzer has kind of got a certain kind of a tribal sound, doesn't it? That removed and shipped 230,000 tons of steel from the demolished World Trade Center to Asia for bargain basement prices. Okay, there's your structure, strategy in slow motion. Individuals in Giuliani Partners Consulting Company that played crucial roles in the cover-up and destruction of physical evidence. These include Pascal J. Damuro, FBI inspector in charge of the 9/11 investigation, and Richard Shearer, the Jewish knight, quote-unquote, who oversaw removal and destruction of crucial steel evidence by sending it to Zionist-run scrapyards in New Jersey. Okay, now remember, there was never a trial of what happened. So no evidence could be submitted in an official trial because of the efforts of Michael Chertoff. And many, many judges then came to the fore afterwards and awarded about $1 million each. These are Jewish judges, of course, to the survivors, but the trade-off was that they would not pursue the matter. So their silence was bought for about $1 million, the families of the victims. Going down the list, scores of Israeli agents near the scene of the crime, as well as future Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, a former Israeli officer and CEO of Comverse Technology, which took over Odigo, which was the Israeli software company, in the World Trade Center buildings, which pre-warned its 4,000 predominantly Jewish employees not to go to work in the World Trade Center complex on 9/11. General Richard Bowman Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We can go on and on here with these names, and we will. Here's what Stylinski says. Zionist appointees were scattered all over 9/11 panels, commissions, and committees, which sprang up immediately after the attack.
Eric, are you still with us? You've suddenly gone quiet. Well, we're still connected, folks, so I don't know what the situation is. Let me hang up from him and call him back. So I'll do that straight away. Here we go. Yeah, Eric, you dropped off, but you're back now. So you were saying about the quote about the Zionist linked people on all the different investigations into 9/11. If you can repeat that quote for us, please. Oh, he's coming in again. There's some... Eric.
Hello, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose we got cut off, is that right?
I think so, yeah. But you were talking... What was that quote that you gave? That was where you dropped out regarding the different people on the 9/11, various 9/11 commissions investigations.
Yeah, Zionist appointees were scattered all over 9/11 panels, commissions, and committees, which sprang up immediately after the attacks. This is referring to Stylinski's article, which I've got posted on my 911nwo.com website, and which is about the Chabadniks and the Zionists in control of America for that event. It's called Chabadniks, Zionists, and 9/11 Insiders. And he examines the Jewish Talmudic and Kabbalistic framework for the radically Zionist Jewish neoconservative movement, which organized, executed, and are still covering up Operation 9/11. And the key, now let's talk about the neoconservatives. I think we have a little bit. This is a Jewish intellectual movement, although it doesn't admit that. So therefore, it is a crypto-Jewish intellectual movement, which was originally founded in 1997 by Robert Kagan and William Kristol. William Kristol is the son of Irving Kristol, the Trotskyite, and William Kristol is the editor of the Weekly Standard, etc. And of course, most of the members of this group, again, are going to be dual American Israeli citizens and Zionists. But there is a Talmudic and Kabbalistic framework for this whole operation. And there is a book that I've read, The Most Dangerous Book in the World, by A.K. Bain, 2012, which talks about the symbolism, the satanic ritual symbolism, Freemasonic, much of it, that was used in and around and on the day of 9/11 at the location. I recommend that book. I've also got summaries of it and articles about it on my website. So here's now where we get to the Jewish Talmudic and Kabbalistic framework. It gets really strange. But going back to the name, the key players, of course, Richard Perle, the so-called Prince of Darkness, who actually was indicted for spying for Israel, as many of these people were. Douglas Faith, indicted for spying for Israel. Paul Wolfowitz, Albert Wohlstetter, and their neocon colleagues, they've controlled the last several presidencies, starting with Clinton, Bush, Obama, and now Trump. All of these are controlled by this crypto-Jewish Zionist neoconservative group, which has deep roots to the Likud party in Israel. And so in a sense, the tail is wagging the dog, the tail of Israel, which the United States spends, you know, at least $3 billion a year in direct aid to Israel, and then much more in terms of indirect and military aid to Israel. Of course, if we want to solve these problems, the very, very first logical step would be to cut off all aid to Israel and to sever our special relationship with Israel. But that's likely not to happen because of the deep, deep relationship. According to Stylinski, corporate Zionist enablers of the plan obviously included Vice President Dick Cheney, President George W. Bush, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, and General Richard Myers, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So basically, Wolfowitz and his neoconservative colleagues managed to fuse corporatist, you know, defense contractors, Zionist Chabad Lubavitch, and other high influential Zio conservative based think tanks into a force for war. It's the Wolfowitz doctrine that lay behind the paper called The Clean Break, and then it's also underlay the 2000 Manifesto for the Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, their document in September 2011 called the Rebuilding America's Defenses, which just puts out a direct blueprint for the Zionist conquest of the world, and which the Bush and Obama and now Trump administrations are following to the T. So this is not rocket science. People can read these documents. Among other things, it said, okay, we need the U.S. government to be able to prosecute multiple theater wars against nations that have not threatened our interests. We need to just, you know, go ahead and invade countries at will. And we need to do that. We need to double the budget for the Defense Department from then $300 billion a year to $600 billion. And it was $300 billion then. Now it's about $800 billion. So they've been quite successful. And even in that document, they lay out the countries they need to, we need to have a war with. Of course, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Libya, and of course, Iran is targeted too. And now we're seeing the actual war in Iran has started. Israel has attacked Iranian bases and personnel in Syria. And we're really on the threshold of the completion of this plan and or World War III or both. So this is the Wolfowitz doctrine coming to fruition. But they said in the document, but this process, progress of transformation, this is PNAC, Rebuilding America's Defenses, even if further the progress of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Okay, September 2000, this document was written. Of course, 1 year later, we got 9/11, which was obviously now, in hindsight, an operation, intelligence operation, primarily conducted by Mossad and CIA and the American partners. And of course, this script is being played out, and people are now awake to it. I've got lots of names here. We're dealing with a cabal. We're dealing with numerous threads coming together. Zionist is predominant. Banksters, of course, are in it for the money and the power. We have the Masonic branch of existentialist Satanism, which is very powerful in the U.S. military, which also connects with these Jewish mafia groups. Mossad hierarchy, the Chabad Lubavitch, which is very powerful Zionist Jewish religious fanatic group that Ari Fleischman is involved with, which is a form of Kabbalistic Satanism with links to the Order of Zion, Freemasonry, and the overall global occult elite. Okay, we're dealing with the occult elite. We're dealing with the Illuminati. We're dealing with the Illuminati families, Rothschilds, Harriman, Bush, Rockefellers, right on down the list. And there's another aspect now, Andy, that I think perhaps we can talk about in the future, I hope, many of these individuals that are key individuals may have also been subject to mind control through the MKUltra programming. They may have personalities that have been irrevocably altered and fragmented. And these people that the U.S. has created through its top secret CIA mind control programs, beginning in the 40s and 50s, are now in positions, top positions in the political establishment and the military establishment and throughout the country. So these then become programmed slaves for this higher cabal. Let me tell another story. March 11, 2002, Rabbi Dov Zakheim, who again, comptroller of the United States, gathered over 500 emissaries of Chabad, the Chabad Lubavitchers, from all corners of the world in order to celebrate the birthday of the late Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. What a name, Schneerson. These names are atrocious. The spiritual guru of Chabad. The big bash took place just opposite the Pentagon 9/11 crash site, which was a missile, by the way, not a plane. Considering what we have discovered so far about Chabad Lubavitch and Zionism, it is more than a little ironic that there was a party for a guru who extolled the virtues of a messianic Jewish theocracy hosted by insider Dov Zakheim, comptroller of the Pentagon, who had managed to furnish Israel with more weapons than any other Jewish individual in the history of arms brokering. Yeah, we can spend the whole program talking about this character, Dov Zakheim, because, you know, he took on the job of controller for the Pentagon in May 2001. By September 10th, Donald Rumsfeld was on TV saying, oh, gosh, you know, there's $2.6 trillion missing at the Pentagon. We don't know where it went. It's unaccounted for. Dov Zakheim over there is thinking about hiring a couple, accountants to see if they can... You know, I mean, it's totally absurd. Well, by the way, the Pentagon's now $21 trillion in the red. Well, you know, I mean, it's probably most of this is coming from the Gog's new Gestapo. These are black budget, black ops, wet ops. These are killing. This is treason. This is the highest possible treason. This group is involved in the highest possible treason ever in the United States and in the world. Now, of course, the fact that they are dual citizens, you know, that kind of gives them almost a get out of jail card. And that, of course, makes it all worse. But, yeah, we're talking about Gog's new Gestapo is the highest treason. Anybody in the country who's involved with that, and I think is an enormous number of people who are involved with it at the operational level, are guilty of treason. And it reminds me, Andy, of the movie Murder on the Orient Express. I don't know if you've seen the remake of that, but it's pretty good. But there's a guy killed on a train, and there were 12 people on the train who actually planned it, and they each stabbed the guy once. And they couldn't get away with the murder because there happened to be the best detective in Europe on the train, and he figured out what happened. But then he let them go because there were so many of them, and they were such nice people. And by the way, the leader was Jewish. So we're dealing with kind of, you know, this is the way this cult works, you know.
One thing.
Well, let's go.
Eric, yeah. Just a quick one, just to throw in, and I don't know why I was directed to do this while I've been listening to your information, but you may be familiar with the Deagle.com website that has the list of countries forecast by population in 2025. Well, we've actually got some good news for the USA, because I haven't checked it for a few months. And since I started looking at it about a year ago, it had the USA projected population dropping by 81% by 2025. And they claim to get all their data from NGOs and places like the IMF, the United Nations, etc. And they come up with their forecasts. But for some reason, it's now gone down to 70%. So only 70% of the Americans are going to die, or the population's going to be reduced by 70% by 2025. But interestingly, the United Kingdom is still going to have a population reduction of 78%, which is what it has been predicted all the way through. And so the United Kingdom is looking at the biggest population reduction out of any country in history, according to this Deagle.com website. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with that, and just based on your work, and I actually posted that interview on my website, Andy. I think it's very important. You know, exactly, you know, I mean, you know, going back to Napoleon's quote and George Washington's quote, I mean, it would appear that this particular group, I mean, this is what they do, because they have the trick of creating money out of nothing. You know, these are the international bankers that are controlled by the House of Rothschild, which is the number one Illuminati family, and they are the king of the Jews. Because they have mastered money, they then can take a very large sampling of their own tribe and hire others to work nonstop to obtain their revolutionary objectives, which are to, you know, destroy the nation state, destroy the family, destroy all religions, destroy the monarchy, destroy all institutions that would stand in the way of their complete rule over the earth and what they would envision as kind of a Jewish utopia. I really think that they have a certain amount of, you know, wide-eyed idealism about this. But unfortunately, they don't regard the rest of us as human beings, you see. We are cattle to be either enslaved or genocided. And this also becomes very, very clear when you read their writings. So what I'm doing, what you're doing is, you know, is obviously self-defense. I mean, what we're doing is we're identifying our enemy, and it's a historical enemy, and it has patterns. They have patterns. And we're doing this in order to save our nations, our cultures, our countries, our countrymen, and ourselves. Now, what could be, you know, more justified than the activity that you and I are now pursuing? Well, it's a little bit dangerous because they do have the power structure. But on the other hand, necessity is the mother of invention. We must identify these people. Well, okay, so Victor Thorne wrote a book, 9/11 Evil. It's quite good. He identifies the following PNAC, or Project for a New American Century, neocon Jewish Zionists, as being the key Pentagon White House insiders in a position to facilitate 9/11. Again, the same names: Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Kenneth Edelman, Louis Scooter Libby, who is the aide to Vice President Cheney, Douglas Faith, Dov Zakheim, David Wormser, Elliot Abrams, who's a longtime operative in the CIA and other intelligence agencies, Elliot Cohen, Daniel Pipes, and Stephen Bryan. If people want to go to my websites, they can find out a lot about each of these individuals. Thorne states, so what we have here is a Zionist-aligned defense policy board, the real power behind the war machine's throne, controlling every top spot at the Pentagon. The PNAC signatories, Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, following in fully compliant lockstep. Again, structure, strategy, and slow motion. Well, let's look at Dov Zakheim. You know, I mean, we can go through Wolfowitz, we can go through Cheney, we can go through Faith, we can go through Ludi, we can go through, you know, there's probably a list of about 150 of these PNAC document signatories and PNAC members, maybe less, maybe more like, I'm sorry, I'm this out from the top of my head, maybe 40 or 50 that I've actually got in my notes here. But let's look at Zakheim, who is one of the PNAC signatories, obviously a neocon Zionist rabbi, carrying American and Israeli passports, also consultant for Boeing and McDonnell Douglas, you know, defense contractors. So there he is, comptroller of the Defense Department, also consulting with the defense contractors that are selling their weapons to the Pentagon. Well, how cozy. That's called the revolving door. But in his case, it's not even revolving. He's in both positions, perhaps at the same time. I don't know. But today he's a consultant for Boeing and McDonnell Douglas. Zakheim also held many positions in the Defense Department and in the corporations that sell to the Defense Department. He was one of President Bush's closest advisors when Bush was governor in Texas. Zakheim was CEO of Systems Planning Corporation, a defense contractor specializing in electronic warfare technologies and remote-controlled aircraft systems. By the way, Andy, from what I gather, and I've got some posts to this effect on my websites, the present conflict in Syria is really a fantastic opportunity, fantastic for the militaries, to test their electronic weapon systems on each other. So the Soviets are disabling the electronics of American destroyers and ships, and meanwhile Americans are using their electronic warfare against, you know, the Russians and the Syrians, and they're all having a ball using their latest electronic weapons. And we are in the age of fourth generation warfare, the revolution in military affairs, where nukes are considered obsolete and electronic weapons are the replacement. So and this is guy Zakheim, of course, is in on the profiting end of this as well. His company, Systems Planning Incorporation, produced the flight termination system, which could take over and remotely control as many as 10 different flights at a time, and could also terminate their missions. Okay, so this could help explain what actually did happen on 9/11, perhaps having a number of planes, none of which, by the way, hit the alleged targets, but planes which were nonetheless flying all around airspace and confusing everybody, could be flown remotely using technology that was developed and utilized and sold by a company that was headed by the comptroller of the Pentagon, Dov Zakheim. So you see, structure is strategy in slow motion.
Yes.
Between 1981 and 85, Zakheim worked in the Defense Department and then served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Planning and Resources between 1985 and 1987. 1997, he joined the Task Force on Defense Reform. He was appointed in May 2001 by Donald Rumsfeld as the Pentagon controller, and then very shortly after, $2.3 trillion in transactions were utterly missing, which was announced by Donald Rumsfeld on September 10th. And somehow that news got kind of forgotten, because on September 11th, of course, you know, the trigger event occurred,
exactly.
Which was, of course, staged. And so, you know, again, this is scripted stuff. These are defense, these are military intelligence operations carried out by professional killers with the highest technology. September 11th probably was a $2 trillion operation. Maybe that's where the money went. GOG's new Gestapo is certainly a multi-trillion dollar operation. It has to do with mind control as well. And I think cloning of humans. But that's another story. While Zakheim was the Pentagon controller, the Pentagon also lost, quote-unquote, 56 fighter planes, 32 tanks, and 36 Javelin missile command launch units, according to Victor Thorne's book. And he brokered a contract where 32 Boeing aircrafts were shipped to Florida's MacDill Air Force Base as part of a tanker lease deal. Thorne asks, could these planes, the misplaced funds, and the vanishing military equipment all be part of an operation to retrofit a couple of Boeing airliners with remote control technology to be used on the morning of 9/11? Also, one of Zakheim's Systems Planning Corporation's subsidiaries was Tridata Corporation. Tridata Corporation investigated the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, which was carried out by the FBI and their stooges, an Arab stooge. And thus, Dov Zakheim had access to all the World Trade Center blueprints. Golly! Things are starting to fall into place.
Eric, we're coming up to the end of the show, I'm afraid. We've overrun by a couple of minutes, but is there... I can give you a couple of minutes more if you can wrap up, and then we'll close out the show.
Yeah, I'll just finish with Victor Thorne's quotes here. And maybe we need to do another one, because, again, we're hot on the trail now of the real stuff. Dov Zakheim, this is Victor Thorne in his book 9/11 Evil and How Israel Contributed to the 9/11 Attacks. Dov Zakheim, who was CEO of a company that developed remote control technology, had access to retrofitted Boeings. Plus, he had trillions of dollars at his disposal, the World Trade Center blueprints, and the most high-tech defense contractors in the world. Finally, Zakheim was a signatory of the Project for a New American Century Pearl Harbor document and an integral member of the lunatic fringe neocon cabal. He's also a Jewish rabbi. Zakheim is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Heritage Foundation. and was senior advisor to the Center for International and Strategic Studies. And according to Thorne, Zakheim is an agent for the very highest levels of the Rothschild Zionist International Banking Cabal, on whose behalf he orchestrated the misallocation of over $2 trillion. I think that's a pretty good place to end. We're starting to see kind of on an operational level how the system works, who did it, how they did it, to explain the current war of terrorism called War on Terror, and the 9/11 false flag, state-sponsored synthetic terrorist attack that triggered these current wars in the Middle East.
Thank you so much, Eric. That's a fantastic presentation, as always. Before you go, can you please give the audience the addresses of your, I believe, 5 websites?
Yeah, my websites. I retired after 30 years of teaching in 2011 at universities, and now I have 5 websites. They are 911nwo.com, naturalclimatechange.org, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, San Luis Valley Water Watch.com, and my music website, which is what keeps me happy too, is ericcarlstrom.com. I've got 2 CDs coming up this year. One is a gospel CD. Andy, we'll have to do some songs from that later.
Excellent, definitely. Folks, I urge you to support Eric. The only way you can do so is by buying his music from ericcarlstrom.com. So please have a look around that. Eric and I will be back with you with part 4 of this series very soon. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on the Eurofolk Radio Network. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.